Come out and celebrate the first of its kind LPGA team event, the Dow Great Lakes Bay Invitational, taking place July 15th through the 20th at Midland Country Club. 144 of the world's best female golfers will team up and make their way to Michigan's Great Lakes Bay region, where 72 teams will compete in alternate shot and best ball formats for a $2 million prize. Purse, not prize. It's a purse. $2 million first place prize. That'll be something else. Hey, top-ranked LPGA players are committed to competing at the event. Thai sisters Aria and Moria Jutanagarn will team up, and so will Canadian duo Brooke Henderson, who just won, and Elena Sharp, captain and vice-captain for Team Europe's Solheim Cup squad. Catriona Matthew and Suzanne Pedersen will partner as well, as will Team USA standouts Lexi Thompson and Christy Kerr. Also in the field will be the teams of current world numbers 1 and 2, Jin Young Ko and Minji Lee, and two of the LPGA's youngest stars, Lydia Ko and Inji Chun. Tune in to the Golf Channel for coverage of this new innovative event, July 15th through the 20th. Visit dowglbi.com for tickets. Back on A New Breed of Golf, and my pleasure to welcome to the show Kevin Kirk, who's the Director of Instruction at the Woodlands Golf Performance Center. Kevin, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Michael Breed. What's going on?
It's good to talk with you. It's something I look forward to, getting insight from some of the brightest minds in the game. And certainly I am well aware of your instructional capabilities and all the hard work you're doing. So we just heard Jamie Costanzo call in, who's going to be playing in the Myrtle Beach World Am. I'll ask you this question, and this is a common problem. Average players struggle with hitting fairway woods off the deck. They can do it nicely off the tee, but when you put them on the fairway, they have a little bit of a tough time. And also, particularly on tight lies, we've got a wise mind here. Tell me, what are some of the things that players can do to improve that part of their game?
Michael, I mean, you know as well as I do that, you know, it seems like the number one kind of priority in movement, to begin with, is balance. And so one of the things I see is that players struggle with their balance, and so once their balance gets disturbed, they have problems figuring out what the bottom of the swing is, controlling their arcs, and all the other things that kind of go along with it. So, I mean, my first order of business in terms of trying to, with the fairway woods, is trying to just make sure the players start in decent balance and can maintain their balance when they swing. It seems like that's a pretty good place to start.
You know, it's interesting because you really are an expert in golf athletic development and high performance training. And we all know, I had an interesting conversation with Sean Foley about the importance of a person's ability to walk, the desire to maintain balance. We also talked to another guy, Dennis McQuaid, who works with Mark Leishman. He talked about the importance of hip depth and how hip depth is something that's important to do. And yet, if the body can't support the hips being back there, if you don't have the muscle strength to do it, it becomes very challenging. What are some of the things that you could recommend to our listeners that would help them get their body in condition to perform a golf motion?
Well, I think that, you know, form obviously follows function. People definitely kind of move based on what they're capable of doing and not doing. I think that's really important from a coaching perspective or an athletic development perspective, to be able to figure out what your movement capabilities actually are. So for the golfer to be able to kind of go through maybe a screening of some sort to try to determine what capabilities they have. If the athlete is asked to do something that they can't do, that at some point in time there's going to be a breakdown between the coach and the player, and it's just going to go south. So TPI has a great screening process they use. I mean, there's several people in kind of the golf space now that are kind of doing great screenings, and I think it's really good for the athlete to be screened, and I think for the coach to be read in on that screening, I think is really super important.
Director of Instruction at the Woodlands Golf Performance Center, Kevin Kirk, my guest this morning. And Kevin, you guys down there do a lot of work with junior golfers, and one of the questions that I get so often is, hey, how old should I start my child playing the game of golf? Should I wait until they're 5? Should I start them right away? What are your suggestions? I'm sure you get this question a ton of times, particularly with as much work as you do with elite players. What would be sort of a guideline of how to get your kids involved in the game? What age?
It seems that the one of the great things that we're getting now, the golf has become an Olympic sport, is we're getting some great, pretty good sports, you know, some better sports science in terms of developmentally what's appropriate. And I think that the leader and all that is kind of the grandfather for athlete development and the long-term athlete development models is Isfahan Bali. And he very early on made recommendations that we should, it's okay to start kids early, but just make sure that the activities are appropriate. They're not adultified, that they're, so for kids from zero to, let's say, zero to six, there's a series of recommended activities that would be appropriate that has a little bit of golf in it, but mostly movement and movement-based activities. I think what we're going to be seeing probably rolling out over the next 3 to 5 to 10 years is really a lot more information about what exactly would be appropriate for young kids. I think, for me personally, I've always been pretty good kids past puberty, but prior to puberty, they kind of freaked me out. I was really kind of a little bit out of my lane with it. And so studying up on kind of what's appropriate for movement-based activities, for developmental activities, for kids under, prepubescent, I think is something that all of us need to be kind of looking at. And I think, how early do you start? I think you get them started in some sort of activity-based program super early. What we do know is that the more activities and the more movements that kids develop, the more capable they are of doing other activities. So encouraging sports sampling is really one of the things that the Aspen Institute kind of recommends. And truly trying to kind of follow some sort of developmental model and then not try to adultify golf too soon, I think is probably one of the recommendations I would make.
That's the voice of Kevin Kirk, the director of instruction at the Woodlands Golf Performance Center. So, Kevin, we come out of this U.S. Open. You work with players on all tours all over the world. Tell me your general impressions of where the game of golf is, the athlete that's in the game of golf now. I mean, we see Brooks Koepka, who has been dominating major championships, and this guy looks like he's a linebacker. And then along comes Gary Woodland, who also looks like he's a defensive back as well, kind of a big guy and a phenomenal athlete. And I see the athlete changing quite a bit in the game. But I'm curious to get your thoughts about the game of golf and where it seems to be headed athletically, not just as a sport, but athletically.
Yeah, I mean, Michael, I think it's a great observation. Looking at the athletes out there, they're clearly, golf has become more of a, you see these kids out there that are on all the tours around the world, just super athletic. And it was interesting, in 2016, we had 5 kids out of our program that went to the Olympics, and from different countries. And if you ask that group of 5 kids a host of questions, there was really only one question that they all answered exactly the same way. And that question is, what did you do growing up? And they said, I did everything. Yeah. So I think what we're seeing is that athleticism is really a function of kind of developing a super high movement vocabulary. So the ability to kind of sport sample, you know, see these athletes cross over from other sports into golf. I think that, you know, you hear about, you know, Gary Woodland's basketball background. So these kids are actually super athletic. They're just really good athletes, and they've got a super high movement vocabulary. They've played a ton of other sports. And so that when you ask them to pick up a golf club and move, they have the capacity to move and tell their body what to do. I mean, their sense of balance, their sense of timing and instincts and all those things that are critical for high level golf, they already possess. I think one of the things that we have to be careful with is early specialization. You start looking at specializing a kid into golf too soon, the science suggests it's not a good idea. And I've actually witnessed it. I've seen kids that are like ridiculously good at golf, stayed in the golf lane, and then not make it later on because they didn't have the athleticism that it required to compete at the world-class level. So I think it's something looking at development and trying to kind of expand our thought about what development looks like, encourage sport sampling, trying to make sure the kids develop high movement vocabulary. And then as they kind of get down the road, you know, post-puberty, probably 16, 17, they can decide, okay, golf's going to be my thing. But prior to that, I think there's the more activities they can do, the better.
Kevin, I appreciate you coming on the show today. I always get a chance. You know, one of the things that I love to do is just steal people's information. That's been the key to my success, is get really smart people, get them on a phone line, and then just listen to what they have to say. It happened again. I love listening to you. I love the wisdom, and I appreciate the time so very much. Congratulations on all your success, and obviously all your hard work it has paid off. So well done.
Thanks, Michael, and I just really appreciate all you do for all of us in golf space, and just keep up the good work, my buddy.
Thank you very much. That's Kevin Kirk, the Director of Instruction at the Woodlands Golf Performance Center and one of the truly bright minds in the game of golf, and it's a pleasure to have him on. And I can tell you, if you're looking to get some information on how to hit a golf ball where you're looking, that guy can help you do that. Be a part of Detroit's first ever PGA Tour event, the Rocket Mortgage Classic, June 25th through the 30th at the historic Detroit Golf Club. The Rocket Mortgage Classic aims to be the best tournament on the PGA Tour, as well as the best sporting and social event of the year in Detroit. In fact, it's a can't-miss event, whether you're a big golf fan or just love the excitement of a major attraction in your city and want to enjoy the social aspect. The Rocket Mortgage Classic has been intentional in creating an experience that allows all to participate and enjoy. A ticketed adult has the opportunity to bring as many as 4 kids, 15 and under, to the Rocket Mortgage Classic free of charge. They also offer numerous military ticketing discounts and opportunities. All active and retired military can receive a free ticket for themselves and a guest, as well as on-site discounts. Be a part of Detroit's first ever PGA Tour event, the Rocket Mortgage Classic. Get your tickets today at rocketmortgageclassic.com. We'll be back.